podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello everyone, welcome to Game Week 10 preview, Sky Sports Fantasy Football, courtesy of Fantasy Football Scout. I am Luke. Niall, it's been a while. How you been, mate?
I've been good. Yeah, I've been absolutely fantastic. Good evening to you. And looking forward to jumping into another week of fantasy football. That said, like, it's been quite nice to have the fortnight break. I know a lot of people hate it. Some people despise international breaks. For me, it's some of the best times of the year. Obviously, some great Scotland action at the weekend. Some not so good Scotland action last night, but we got the win. Looking forward to getting back into it. But I hear you were supporting Scotland at the weekend as well and drunken up in the pub.
That's right, yeah. I got the rare treat of being able to watch Scotland on the TV. So, it was a really good game. I thought the passion, the emotion, it was great. Because, we were talking a little bit just before that. I mean, England, it's kind of boring in the build-up and the qualifiers. It's almost like a given that we should qualify, right? So it's really hard to get behind it. Well, I find it hard to get behind them, at least, at that stage. And then, I know England are supposed to hate Scotland and all this jazz, but when there's that much emotion and there's loads of fans in the pub, it does make it a much better game. And it was just a great game, right? I mean, last-minute winners and everything, it's fantastic. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and from a Sky Fantasy perspective, anyone who's got Billy Gilmore is going to be watching those games thinking, why is he not playing for Norwich?
Yeah.
You've got to feel sorry for people who picked him because he's such a great player. It just doesn't seem to have been working out so far, but it might turn around.
Yeah, a bit of an enigma on the old Gilmore gander. On the old international break thing, I think it does matter like what your last game week was like as to how much you enjoy the break, because it's like if you have an absolute stinker, like for me, I'm just like, right, that's it. Shut it down. I'm not interested. I'm not paying any attention. And then if you've had a really good game week, you sort of can't wait to get back in the action and you wish it would come around soon enough. So for now, I've been like just enjoying the break like you, because my little plan of taking Salah out for Kane, it didn't quite work, did it? Because although Kane got shots on target tier 2, looked a lot better player. I think he was unlucky not to score in that game. In the end, it was irrelevant because Salah, he does what he's been doing all season, to be honest. Unluckily for me, it was against Man City. You know, always thought maybe he could get a goal, but I think it was goal, assist. I think he even got tackle bonus, didn't he? Man of the match, everything. I mean, ridiculous. So good.
Yeah, and now you've got the small matter of him at home to Watford to worry
about. Yeah, and that was the one I was worried about. And obviously, I've already had that one. So maybe I'll get some balance and it'll just be a two-pointer in that game. Maybe. I don't think so, but I can only hope. So, terrible week for me to end. We're not going to dwell on it too much because it's so long ago. But 35 points for my team. Christensen and Alonso didn't play, essentially. But Mbeumo that I got in, not a lot of people got him yet anyway. Scored, so I was quite happy with that because I could have obviously gone to Saar, but I went to him. And I feel like that's a half-decent move, at least for now. Rest of the team, though, did pretty much just across the board didn't perform, unfortunately. Can you remember how many points you got now? I think you didn't do too well either, did you, to be honest?
No, it was 47 for me. And on the Saturday, obviously, I've got the block, Chelsea defence, had Lukaku captain because Ronaldo was benched. I fortunately checked that. I took a whole day away not looking at fantasy football. I was up in the Highlands with my girlfriend and did the match of the day challenge. And it was like, great.
Nice.
Chelsea were on early in the, and I think it was maybe the first game. Maybe they were the first game. Anyway, so I'm sat down, excited, ready to go. And then the teams come out and I'm like, oh, no Alonso, no Christensen. and I also had El Yunusi, who didn't play for Southampton. So three players benched.
Oh, game God. One. Yeah.
And then you see Chilwell, Alonso's replacement, throwing in a wild challenge for a give away the penalty, lose three clean sheets of the other defenders, and then Chilwell scores at the other end. So it was not ideal, let's just say that. But I didn't get any better at the weekend either, later on in the weekend, because I brought in Antonio, took the armband off Salah. Antonio gets a two-pointer and Salah runs riot. But at least I've got him for Watford, and I do fear for you this weekend. I said Watford at home, I actually meant Watford away, but it shouldn't make a difference because they've got Ranieri in his manager now.
That's true. Yeah, I'm really hoping for a new manager buzz there, I tell you. What we'll do, I think, is just jump straight into the questions, because that way we cover a lot of our thoughts anyway. So if we go through some of the questions we put out earlier on Twitter, and then we'll do a bit of a preview at the end on the upcoming fixtures. So let me get that up on the screen. Hopefully that's there now. Okay, so thanks for replying to these guys. We usually put them out a day or two before we do the video. Obviously, get yourself on Twitter there and put your questions in, and we shall try to answer them. The first question comes from Brookie Boy 1970. He says a JWP replacement, so James Ward-Prowse. He has a three-man midfield, so he would like to have another midfielder. He has no Arsenal for the two captain days. So I guess an Arsenal player, will obviously cover him off for those 2 days. But is it worth going to an Arsenal midfielder, or is there someone else you'd think about?
I think if he needs to take out a midfielder, if it's a midfielder he has to bring in, so I wouldn't be averse to bringing in Smith Rowe, who's on the list of players which I'm considering for Arsenal. He looks quite dangerous. He can get man of the match. I think given how cheap he is as well, he's the kind of player you could bring in and hold for a little while. I don't think he's going to set the world alight, and I think we'll come on to this, I'm sure, when we're talking about the best options. But I think if you're pinpointing these two games, who's got the potential to get the highest points haul, so the highest ceiling? Probably Aubameyang. I think we found with the two back-to-back Arsenal games that we had last year, he did nothing in the first game, and then the second game scored a couple and ends up, matching, if not outscoring the more steady options like the goalkeeper or the defender. So, if it is a midfielder you need, I've actually ranked my Arsenal options from 1 to 4. There are 4 players I consider, and Smith Rowe's third in that, but he's the highest ranked midfielder. So that would be my suggestion. I don't know if you've got any views on that.
Yeah, I think if you're going for an Arsenal midfielder, then Smith Rowe makes sense just because he's the cheapest. I do really like Saka, but he does have a tendency to pick up the odd injury, and he's like a whole million more expensive. So I suppose if you've just got it laying around, which I can't imagine if... I mean, a lot of people don't have Diaz in their team right now, I think, because he doesn't really require, but I think in a few weeks, you're probably going to want him. Yeah, you're one of them, right? Yeah. And then you look to save money all over the pitch, and then suddenly you look at someone like Saka and you think, I mean, he's only got 24 points this season so far. I know he started slowly because of England, but I've just clicked him on here, and you guys can see it's just 2 points, 2 points every single week. There was the 1 week he got 13, and that's a common factor with these midfielders. We do say it a lot, and Smith Rowe is exactly the same. I mean, he got a 114-point haul versus Spurs. Lots of twos and ones, but because he's cheaper, and obviously the players around the same price as Smith Rowe generally don't score that well. I know they have at the moment, like the likes of Saar's been scoring the points and stuff, but I don't think that's going to be a season-long thing where he's going to dramatically outscore him. So, yeah, I'd also look at Smith Rowe, but I'd also consider just not going for an Arsenal player. I mean, he says he didn't name which other midfield he's got. I still think Gallagher's just a really top-tier option at 7.3. He's probably lost a little bit of appeal just because Elise's come back and seems to take some of the set pieces away from him, so it's kind of one of his strings to his bow that might have gone missing there. But I'm not sure on Elise's fitness permanently. Maybe he goes off in the last 20, Gallagher gets some set pieces towards the end, so I don't think it's that detrimental to him, but still I think he's still a good option. And my mate Mbeumo that I got, I think Brentford just look a fantastic team. He's really, really cheap. I know it won't cover you for the Arsenal match days, but I just like him as a long hold, and the fixtures actually do pick up quite dramatically in a few weeks. Another 2 point machine because he's a cheap midfielder, but you're paying less for it essentially with I think slightly better fixtures than Arsenal. Maybe that's probably debatable, but at least initially Arsenal's are probably a little bit better. I don't really have anyone else that I really like in midfield at the moment. I think Rafinha's an obvious one that is probably not even worth mentioning. I know there's a chance he might miss this weekend, I think the rumours are, due to the Brazil match, but there's not many other midfielders that I'm even thinking about. I mean, I'd love to have some Man City midfielders, but I'm not sure we can pick them in Sky.
It's quite unclear who's going to play week to week. I know a lot of people will still be holding Ferran Torres. We both gambled on him and subsequently got rid of him. But I think if you're holding him, there's a case to say that, for the next few weeks, don't bother making that transfer, because he's got good games if he does play, which he's probably more likely to now, possibly than when they had really stern fixtures, where he goes for his absolute best 11, then you might rotate in. On the midfield options, we can pat ourselves on the back for the Mbeumo shout. You in particular actually backed yourself on it and brought him in. He looks great. And another one we talked about at least a couple of weeks ago was Hwang, who got the brace against Newcastle.
Oh, of course, yeah.
He's only 7.8 and he's playing up front. Looks like he's in a partnership with Jimenez and looked pretty dangerous. So, I mean, obviously, usual warnings apply that he has just come into the team, new signing. There's a bit of competition there, but he looked really good and would cover a captaincy as well against Everton in a couple of weeks' time. So I think, and again, people we keep ignoring and hold, we just pat ourselves on the back for some good shouts. People we haven't suggested, Gray and Townsend continue to do really well.
Yeah, and Decore.
Townsend especially, right? So any of them, I think, are decent options. And Townsend and Gray would also cover you off for that captain game because they're playing against Wolves. Sorry. So there's a few. I don't think there's anyone who really stands out apart from Rafinha, but they're the best of the rest, I'd say.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. As a Traore owner, seeing him bench and then Hwang come in and obviously take all of his points is a little bit frustrating, I'll be honest. So I'm kind of scared to go there, even though he's just 0.1 cheaper, isn't he? 7.8 to 7.9. But if he's going to stay permanently playing in the team, and he's more or less a striker, and he's kind of playing a little bit on the right, if anything, I mean, that's a good price, right? Because Wolves' stats are very, very good, and he's got a fairly decent record in the past. It's kind of, I think he had some problems in his career in terms of injuries and getting some starts, but he has got a pretty good past. So I think he's definitely a decent option. I'm still kind of keeping away for it from the moment because I just think Trincão's been on the bench a little bit. He's obviously a very good player, though, for Barcelona. I can't see him staying permanently benched. I know Podence had a bit of a shocker when he came on, but he is a decent player. He's going to take some minutes away occasionally. And then obviously you've got Neto, who I think is just their standout midfielder from last season. I mean, obviously he had a big injury, so maybe it'll take him a while to get up to speed. But I think when he comes back, that's a lot of names then sort of fighting for two spots. But that could be so far in the distance that Hwang is a decent option for now. And Wolves fixtures are still okay, right? I mean, it lasts for quite a long time. That's why a lot of people went for the likes of Sarr and Girl and stuff. One other name I'll just throw out there is Saint-Maximin. He just continues to do pretty well for Newcastle. I think the games are still okay. I think the general gist of what we're saying is the midfielders, all around that price, there is so many options around that 8 million and just under that there's no incentive for me to really go above that at any point. I think if they don't work out or someone gets injured or dropped, you can just kind of change to another one if you really have to. Obviously, you want to try and avoid those kind of transfers if you can, but at least there's options, right? You can't get stuck with a player and then have to make like three or four transfers because there should be about four or five other options you can go to. I mean, there's three in the Everton team alone. So, yeah, a long-winded answer, but I think, personally, I would probably avoid the Arsenal player. I don't really like Smith Rowe over them, but I can see why you'd want to if you just don't have two captains. I mean, he just has to do one thing on one of the days and it's going to take the other guys quite a long time to catch those points up. In fact, I'm going to throw that to you now. Smith Rowe or one of those better options, if you had to pick, because that's what he really wants, would you just go straight to Smith Rowe or would you ignore the captains? Because it's easy to say, but to do for your own team is a different matter, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to give a really poor answer, sorry, but I'm going to say if he already has, say, a Gallagher, right, who's covering one of the two games,
yeah,
then I'd be tempted to cover off the first game with Gallagher, and then because Villa have got a game upcoming, you could maybe find a way of moving a Villa player in, or even, to be honest, with JWP, I mean, it's only going to be, my understanding is because it's a Carabao Cup game, he's only missing two league games.
That's what I thought, yeah.
So I'd maybe even just consider holding him because the Villa game is actually a captaincy against Southampton, so you could captain.
That is a good point, actually.
Although, I'm going to check that. I don't want to be feeding out misinformation because I reckon there's a chance that it might be one of the games he misses. I think he might come back in time, but it depends when the Carabao Cup game falls.
I heard someone say it was two that he misses in a cup. I think maybe with the James Ward-Prowse hasn't looked as good an option this year as he did last year. Now, maybe it's too soon to say that, but that would probably be in the back of my mind a little bit. I know the red card probably sways, but I think it's just the way they're setting up this year. He doesn't seem to be hitting as many tier points and stuff as he did in the past. But I think Ward-Prowse, if I remember last season, Ward-Prowse did this before. He didn't look great to start with and then suddenly just started picking them up over and over. So maybe he just wants rid of him. But yeah, there's an argument to keep him. I mean, we've talked about it a lot, right? If you're spending all these transfers in midfield, like I've ended up having to do with the likes of Traore and stuff, you soon start missing out on some really good stuff later on because you've messed around. And over the course of the season, out of all those midfielders, would we be surprised if Ward-Prowse ends up being the highest score? Probably not. He just chips away every week, and at least he turns up every week. So, yeah, There's certainly an argument there to keep him. Let's move on. Phil Appleby says, he's doing really well, actually. He's posted a screenshot. He's got two teams, one in 66th and one in 90th, so I'm not sure he needs our advice, but we'll give it to him anyway. He says, any love for Ronaldo or Salah to Aubameyang, hokey cokey, in order to cover the two captain days, two extra games for one transfer? What do you think about that?
Yeah, much love for that. I think I'll do something similar myself, probably involving Antonio. So save the budget to be able to do that. But if looking at those two options, he's given Ronaldo and Salah. I think I would go Ronaldo out. Man United's games are pretty stern for the next few weeks. Obviously, it's a case to be made that Ronaldo is fixture proof, but when you compare him against Salah, who just looks absolutely electric, we saw that against Man City.
Mm.
He's possibly the one player who, we talked about the big three up front and rotating all of them. Unless there's a period where he's not playing at all, I can't really see myself taking Salah out. And actually, it was my plan to do what you did, taking Salah out to bring in Kane for this run of games. But I just saw that Watford game and got terrified and didn't do it. So I'm on board with what you're suggesting there, but I would take out Ronaldo before I'd take out Salah.
Yeah, I think that's what I would do. I mean, Ronaldo's fixtures are just bad. You just got to... I know it didn't work out with the Salah thing in Man City, but I think Liverpool's attack's on another level. Salah just seems to be on a crazy level at the moment. Yes, Ronaldo's a really good asset in Sky because he takes a lot of shots, but also we've seen he can get benched even, which we maybe weren't expecting as much, but we saw it happen against Everton. So can we see that happening to Salah? I mean, across the season, he usually plays like 36, and usually those two are due to injury more than anything else. So I'd have thought there's also that risk that Ronaldo will occasionally see some minutes on the bench just after a European game or something. And yeah, just based on fixtures alone. I know Liverpool's aren't, you know, fantastic either, but Watford is certainly good enough reason to keep him, right? So yeah, Ronaldo for me as well, to Aubameyang. And just pray for those two game weeks. Okay, let's move on. For reasons unknown, he says, assuming Lukaku is available, because yeah, we're recording this. I think Chelsea haven't had the... Have they had the press conference today or not? If they have, I didn't see it. So let's hope he's available. Would you use a transfer for Kane to Salah? So he's obviously done the move like I've done. He's written it backwards here, but I've read through this and I think this is what he means. Or hold Kane and hope Salah doesn't run riot. The reason being is he actually has Antonio for captain on the Sunday. So Newcastle play Spurs on that Sunday, the same day West Ham play. Obviously, he's bought Kane in order to have him multiple days as captain. But then having seen how Kane's performing, I assume, and then obviously what Salah did to Man City, and not having him for the Watford, would you just bite the bullet and just transfer Kane out and get Kane in for the Watford game and then leave Antonio as your captain? I mean, I'm in this exact position, to be honest, but I'm going to ask you because I don't know.
Okay. Well, so on Lukaku, my view is that he's probably all right. And you heard a lot of grumbling and moaning coming out of the Belgium camp for the fact they had to play that third place playoff.
Pointless, though, isn't it?
Totally pointless. I agree with them. And they rotated basically their whole team, and Lukaku was effectively, I think, sent back to London. I mean, I'm obviously not in the know, but you see this all the time with internationals, right? So I think he'll be absolutely fine. I think he'll be all right. And I would, unless you hear absolutely certainly otherwise that he's not going to play, I think he's fine for the armband at the weekend. On that point, I would also not suggest taking out Kane before Newcastle. I know.
Oh, I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, he was towing a caravan, right, last night for England. I don't think anyone would dispute that. But you know, he could easily just tow that caravan right into the 18-yard box at Newcastle, and the ball's just going to be getting in there. So you'll probably do what he did against Villa, and that he'll at least get shot bonus minimum. So if I had Kane, I wouldn't be taken out before he plays against Newcastle this week. I know that it's a really awkward one because Salah's the standout captain. But if Lukaku steps onto the pitch against Brentford, I think he'll do something, and I'm confident that he will. So I wouldn't be doing all sorts of hokey cokey transfers just to take someone out before they play.
No, I'm glad, because that follows my mantra of I will almost never do anything for one game. Like, that feels like it's kind of almost one game. Now you could argue, yeah, you just get Salah and you leave it, but you've only just made the move the other way, I'm assuming, unless you started with Kane. And I wouldn't do that because it could easily backfire in that 1 week. Salah could blank against Watford and Kane could go mental against Newcastle and suddenly you're beating yourself up, especially when you've taken the captain off and put on Antonio, which is something you did similarly the other way around this week, right? You moved the captain with a transfer and it ends up costing you points by actually using that transfer. And that is something that you can do in Sky. You can kind of overmanage a little bit. So I think if you've got to this stage, you just kind of pray that Salah doesn't go off in that one game. And look, if he does go off in that one game, I mean, I missed out the Man City game. It was harsh. It hurt. But at the end of the day, what did Salah end up on points? It's like 30 points as captain, and not a lot of people captained him, bear in mind. Was it like 15 or something in the end? I lost 15.
Yeah, something. A lot of points.
Yeah. It's like 15 points. I mean, that would you, and then you ask yourself, would you rather have the transfer or 15 points? And I think that's another debate, right? So he has to really, really hurt you for it to hurt, which sounds stupid, but you get what I mean. He has to literally score 3 or 4 goals in that Watford game for it to really, really hurt you. So I would just, you've made your bed kind of thing and see it out. You've done it for a reason. And yeah, you want to get Salah back in pretty swiftly, though, after that. Have a look at when your next entry point is, I think, which is probably, I think Brighton is the one that people are kind of looking at a little bit because it's a Saturday game or something. But yeah, for now, I would just pray, because Kane did look really good against Villa for me. He had, I mean, certainly in the stats anyway. I only saw the highlights, so I can only comment on that. But he was having lots of shots, and that's usually Kane's calling card, right? When you look at his stats and you see, oh my God, he's firing off shots all over the place, that normally means there's points around the corner, which is straight. This is why it's strange for me. For England, he didn't quite look the same player, but, you know, could be all sorts of reasons for that. Liam Rayner says, evening gents, if you were looking to bring in an Arsenal asset for just the 2 games, who would you pick? So I think you've already made your list and you said Aubameyang, is that right? Is that top pick?
Yeah, so I'll read out my list. So I'll read it from reverse just for some suspense. So in fourth place, Ben White. I think he's probably the most stick-on defensive asset. Arsenal have conceded only 1 goal in the last 4 league games. 5 games if you include the Carabao Cup, which is pretty impressive, right? Because they had such a porous start to the season. Mm. And he's been really good, Ben White. But the downside to him is they've not even sniffed a passing bonus at all. Mm. And in these captaincy games, it is nice to have that fallback, right? Even if they do concede, you're gonna walk away with 8 or 10 points, which is fine. But if they do concede, it looks like you're getting 2 with Ben White. So that's why he's fourth. Third, I've got Smith Rowe. Talked about his pros just because he's cheap. He's a midfielder. And if you're needing to get rid of another midfield asset, then he could be someone who could easily switch in.
And he's arguably the best player on the pitch when he actually turns up most weeks. He catches the eye most weeks anyway, doesn't it? Even if he doesn't.
Absolutely.
Yeah, doesn't
he? He could easily pick up a couple of Man of the Match awards in the next few games. Aubameyang is second to me. Now, I've put underneath that the reason he's in second place. It's just because I think you're going to have to use transfers to get him in and out. But he, for me, is, while he's second in terms of the overall Arsenal options, I think he's the best in and out option because he has the highest ceiling. So although he's 2 in my list, actually, he'll be the one I'm probably going to bring in myself, just because over the course of these 2 matches, which are the only 2 games really I'm looking at, I think he's got the highest points potential. And also makes a really easy switch for, so be it, you know, someone else down the line. You could take him out for Diaz or Cancelo, or you could take a wild swing at DCL if he's returned to the planet at some point. And then number one, I've actually got Ramsdale, because I think he's been outstanding. Single match days are always great for goalkeepers, because if they do keep a clean sheet, it's an extra 2 points, which makes double to 4. A few shots on target, picking up bonus as well, and with the defenders not getting passing bonus, I think that actually elevates the goalkeeper even more and makes them the supreme asset in that Arsenal defence. And on top of that, Ramsdale's really cheap. So again, if you're looking to bring in a goalkeeper, if you've got someone in there you're not happy with, then Ramsdale would be the one I'd go for. But I think most people would be pretty happy with who they've got in goal just now, in which case I think Aubameyang probably stands out.
Yeah, no, I'd go along with that. I love goalkeepers for single match days. I mean, they usually do the business. It wasn't a single match day, but obviously Sarr for the Wolves the other day, when a lot of people had him as captain, he went and delivered, and it's a common theme. Martinez has obviously done it a lot in the past, and there's been a lot of times where a goalkeeper's come up trump. So, yeah, I'd certainly prefer him over Ben White. For me, it will be Aubameyang that I bring in probably. I'm not 100% set on it because I do have Gallagher, so I might just miss one of the games and stick with Gallagher because I've had to use extra transfers. But Aubameyang, if I do go there, will probably be the one. And just like you say, it's just for the higher ceiling. He's on the penalties and everything, isn't he? And although he can look disinterested in games sometimes, he still finds a way to score quite often. So yeah, I think they're tough games for me, Palace and Villa. I think they're both teams that you could see they could beat Arsenal on their day, or at least give them a good game. So I do think that the missing out option is not going to hurt anyone too much this week, especially if you've got the Gallagher for that one day cover. The more and more I look at it, the more I keep coming down on the side of maybe I wouldn't make the move, just because I can't really call the games, and I feel like, yeah, Gallagher covers you for one. The Villa game could be tight. The Villa have been good defensively. Obviously, if you've got someone in place, fine. But I think for a transfer to get Arsenal, I'm not 100% convinced now. Whereas, in the weeks leading up to it, even though Arsenal were poor in the first few weeks, I always had it in my mind to do it just because, you look at it and you think two extra days, two extra captains. But now, if it's just one extra day and one extra captain, I'm not sure. This is assuming you get Gallagher, of course.
Yeah, I can see that point. It depends who you'd be planning on taking out as well, right? Because
True.
I think, so in my example, right, I'm going to be taking out Antonio, and Arsenal actually play. So West Ham got the game against Spurs, but then Arsenal play before Antonio plays again.
Okay.
So it ends up working out a 3-for-1 with two captains. So it feels to me like a bit of a no-brainer.
Is that when you'll definitely get an Antonio back, though, or you're not?
Undecided. So that, but at least it gives me the flexibility to at that point assess whether I'd want to bring him back or not. I could even just leave him and maybe bring in DCL for that Monday night game or something like that. But I think that it gives me a security of knowing that if I do make the move, there's only one opportunity that Antonio over that 2 week period, where Arsenal got three games with two captains, that you could maybe score enough that would justify not making the transfer at all.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I think that it's probably not the correct way to think about it, but I think it kind of does depend on how many transfers you've used, because a lot of the people who are doing very well probably won't have used so many transfers, right? The ones who have just lucked out, they've not got that many injuries, they're probably quite high up, used like maybe three or four as planned. And then maybe they're thinking, yeah, I'm just going to get an Arsenal player for two game weeks as captain. It's a no-brainer sort of thing. And I think if you've used more, like I've ended up doing six or seven, you've got to pick your opportunities throughout the season now, where I'm going to have to try and get on a level playing field with these guys. And when I look at it and think, well, these two matches are quite tough, and I don't have full confidence that Arsenal can win them. And there's not, I mean, you've listed four options for Arsenal that could be captain there. You could also add Saka in there. You could add Tierney. Do you know what I mean? There's not a standout name that is like the Ronaldo or the Salah. So I feel like there's a bit of a lottery there where your player that you pick could be the two-pointer. So then I think of it as, okay, well, if I try to level out the transfers over the season, a lot of those top managers will probably use one right now, and I can maybe get away with it here, where there'll be other weeks further on down the line where, you've got Salah for two games or something, and I'll be like, well, I can't miss that one. Do you know what I mean? So that's where I'm edging at the moment. If I had infinite transfers, it's just Aubameyang in and pray. And I still might do that, but as you can tell, I'm undecided. I may just give it a skip in the end. Okay, let's move on. So Kippy says, hi guys, I think this is similar to what I was saying actually. Got Gallagher for the Arsenal first game, but which Villa asset would you bring in for the Friday? So he's not going for an Arsenal player, probably thinking similarly to me, I guess. And he's doing that because he can't get Martinez later, and Villa play Southampton, I think, on an individual day later on as well. Yeah, so getting in a Villa player then obviously covers you off for 2 days. So it kind of makes sense. I'll answer this one first, if that's all right. So there's lots of Villa players I kind of like, but because of their positioning, so obviously Ings and Watkins, I think they're decent options, but because they're forwards, they're kind of almost no-goes. And I really like Bailey, but I don't know whether he's fit or not. And he would probably be my standout if you could tell me right now that Bailey's going to be in the team and play, because he's a midfielder and he's cheap around that same price. I think he's like 7.8 as well, or 8 million or something. I think it's 8, something like that. And I just maybe chance him because I think he looks fantastic. But I don't know whether he's fit. So Matty Cash is probably the one that stands out at right wing back. It's not been fantastic for bonus, and I really do like my defenders to have bonus, but it's just the fact that he's playing so advanced. So he's actually got that really high ceiling, hasn't he? Because he could get a goal or an assist to go with his clean sheet, and suddenly he's hit a monster haul. And Villa's fixtures do start to turn around again fairly soon. So I think Matty Cash is probably where I would end up if, and he says he can't get to Martinez, by the way. So that's probably where I'd end up. But a cheeky punt to Bailey if there's any noise about him being fit. Any thoughts on that?
No, I like that. There's definitely an argument that could be made where you wait just now, watch Villa play against Wolves this weekend, right? If Bailey was to start in that game, look good. I don't know what's going on with his fitness. It looks like he's not 100%, is he? So I don't even know if he's going to be back yet.
It says tight thigh on the website there, and it says return date is expected to be the 16th, which is in 3 days' time, but we've not had the press conference yet, so we'll have to see.
But I mean, in the hypothetical that he starts and plays well, and you could then be confident that he was going to play on the Friday night, you could just avoid an Arsenal player. Captain Gallagher safe in the knowledge that you're going to bring in Bailey on the Friday, and then Bailey gives you the coverage for the game in two or three weeks' time, the standalone Friday night captaincy against Southampton as well.
Yeah, that's probably the sensible play. Yeah. Like I say, I'm thinking of maybe skipping it entirely, but I'll have to think about it, really. Maybe your plan of watching and then picking my favourite option might make sense. The thing is, I don't have a Southampton player either for that day, so maybe I'll end up using another transfer. The thing is, you have to play the week as you see it, right? I mean, if Chelsea play against Brentford and Alonso's nowhere to be seen again, suddenly I've got another dead option in my team, and I just think, well, you know, maybe I just bring in a Matty Cash for him and just be done with it, you know. So I'll have to see what the week brings, but yeah, Cash and Bailey look my standouts. Obviously Watkins and Ings can do really well, but I mean, you just can't find a place for these forwards in the team, can you? And that's the problem with these premiums, I think aside from Antonio and Calvert-Lewin, there's not really anyone apart from the top strikers that I really want. I don't know if I'm playing that wrong. Maybe I should be looking at these guys in between.
Nah, not really. I mean, Jamie Vardy, maybe.
Oh yeah, he keeps scoring. The thing with him is,
but 7 points. That seems to be his limit.
Yeah, it really does. The thing with him is, Iheanacho's just started to play the last few games, hasn't he? And usually when they play together, it has a negative effect on Vardy, where he's more of the full guy for Iheanacho to actually score the points. So I'm just thinking, timing-wise, it might be one of those classic Vardy things where we all think, right, we're finally going to get him because he's doing well, and then suddenly he drifts off into obscurity. Probably not, because it never works how you expect it with Vardy. But yeah, I suppose, again, guilty of underestimating him as usual. Okay, let's move on. I'm not sure if this is FPL related or not, but I suppose it applies to both. Adit Wara says, any update on Calvert-Lewin, Wilson, Reece James or Zinchenko? It's just to watch out for the press conferences, mate, like we all do. I haven't heard anything particular. I heard Reece James was in training. I haven't heard anything on Calvert-Lewin. Callum Wilson, I haven't heard anything, or Zinchenko. Have you heard anything on any of those?
No, I was doing a bit of looking up on Calvert-Lewin, and it doesn't seem like there's a great deal of information. This is this thing with Rafa. He seems to give you very little.
Yeah, you can't trust him.
His press conference hasn't been yet this week, and I'm guessing they'll ask him about it. And he'll probably say something like, oh, you know, he's really badly injured. It could be a long time, and then he'll play at the weekend. So
yeah,
I wouldn't listen to a word he says. On the other players, again, press conferences, and probably I was waiting with a lot of them, particularly Zinchenko. I mean, he's maybe asking from a Cancelo perspective.
Yeah, on that one, actually, I do remember they were saying that Zinchenko's all the noise from the, I think it's City Extra or something, is the account which gives a lot of City news, was saying that Zinchenko looks like he could be fit for this game against Burnley, but again, we just have to wait for the press conferences. It's all, I don't know how true any of this stuff is. And then the second question is, do you think Trincao will start over Adama or Hwang in the future? Personally, I can't see him starting over Hwang at the moment. I don't know why you drop Hwang. I think that just doesn't make any sense. I think the manager started with he started with the players like Traore and Trincao because they'd been there a while. He signed Hwang and he integrated him a bit, and then as soon as he plays Hwang, he delivers. I mean, to me, there's just no reason why he would suddenly revert from that. Absolutely none. So Traore's obviously be on the bench, and I wouldn't be surprised if Trincao starts playing ahead of Traore, because obviously Podence has been in the mix as well, because Traore is not offered enough. But the bottom line is there's going to be some rotation there. At the moment, Hwang looks like the best option of all of them. I think of anyone, he's probably the most nailed for 90 minutes at the moment.
Yeah, agreed. And also, there's been a bit of an update this today, I think. Trincao has had to go into isolation. He's ill.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Potential COVID. So you'd think that's going to rule him out at least for a week, maybe 2. So for that, for the next couple of weeks, I think Hwang is absolutely nailed on anyway. I mean, after coming off a brace, he's going to be playing, right? But
I'd
yeah,
also argue on
Mate.
this front anyway. If he's got Trincão in his team and this is Sky and he's got him, I don't th even if he's fit and he's playing, I don't think he's a good enough option to keep in your team is the bottom
No,
line. So I'd just get rid of him. Two questions from FPL Hambone. He says, one, when will the blanket Chelsea defence start paying off? Please God soon. Rotation seems to be benefiting those not so heavily invested. Yeah, I think there's an element of unluckiness. Chilwell's tackle. I mean, for example, they weren't getting a look in really apart from that. A lot of rotation because of Champions League and stuff. My answer to that question is I'm hoping it's in these next 4 or 5 games. Brentford's a tough game. Wouldn't be surprised if they conceded in that game. You know, maybe a tight game, 1-1. But after that, I'm really hoping we'll start to reap it. I mean, you're in the same boat, right? You've got loads of them and you're just praying for the same.
Yeah, I mean Norwich, Newcastle, Burnley to come after that. If you're like us and you've thrown all your eggs into the Chelsea basket, the least you can do is get through these fixtures when they're so good. So yeah, there's probably going to be some tough moments when you look at the team and one of your players isn't playing. But you've got to hope that when they do play, they're going to deliver over the next few weeks. And I think you probably assess it after that. I'd also expect that, you know, the Champions League, the fact that they did lose to Juventus means they're probably going to feel a little bit insecure about getting through. So they're probably going to play a decent, as good a team as they can. They're not going to let up in that competition. So the rotation probably will continue. But the next few games are so good that, you know, you've got to hope that if the best players play, they're going to score. And Thiago Silva, I think, is not getting back till super late this weekend. So it
Oh, yeah,
looks
good
like
point.
Christensen will definitely play. Rudiger, if he's fit, will play. And Azpilicueta, I think between the right centre back position and right wing back, looks like he'll be playing as well. So that's, you know, say the core. And then a lot of question marks about Alonso, right? I think he's probably the one whose position is most under threat with Chilwell coming back in. But even if you've got Alonso, I firmly believe that you should hold him for at least the next 3 games, 4 games, because if he plays in one of those games, you've seen what he was doing at the start of the season. He could easily get you a 15, 16, 17-point haul, and that kind of justifies his existence for a little while, and then you assess it after.
I'm happy you said that as well. Yeah. So for me, the major disappointment from the Chelsea defence has not been the fact that they've conceded the odd goal. It's been the fact that the passing bonus hasn't been there, which all the signs pointed to that continuing through the roof. And that's been the big issue. I mean, I'm getting zeros and two pointers from my defence across the board, whereas the reason we go for these guys, right, is because we've got that 4 or 5 points even when they concede, and they're almost like a cheat code, and they haven't been there at the moment. So I really want to see those numbers start picking up. And if their passing bonus is nowhere to be seen in the next 2 or 3 games, then I would really worry, because these are the games they should definitely be getting in for me. And like you with Alonso, I've got him in my team, and I'm almost like I don't know whether it's stubbornness or if it is sensible, like you say, but I will hold him until he at least plays a game. You know, unless that's like 6 weeks and he's still not played, maybe I'll have to get rid of him. But I'm hoping he'll play, you know, one of the next three, maybe. And as soon as he's played that game, maybe then I can look at what options I want to do to move on. But obviously, things can change in those 2 or 3 weeks. Chilwell could have picked up a knock again. Alonso could suddenly be amazing. Chilwell could have given away 3 more penalties. You know, the landscape changes so quickly that you might have a different question on your mind later on. Two, he says, how long will you give until you get Webster back? He says, would you give him a couple of games to avoid any re-injury? Because he misses him and he thinks his value unlocks a lot of doors. And we have said numerous times we think he's probably the best cheap defender in the game. So when he comes back, let's say the manager says he's fit, he turns up, he plays the first week. Are you going straight back in, or are you going to wait a little bit?
No, I'm going to give it a little while. They've got, I think they've got, they've got Norwich. Yeah, they've got Norwich this weekend, which is a decent game for them. But then after that, they've got Man City and Liverpool. So that gives you at least a, so I'd say a 3 week window until the start of November when the games get better again to see that he's fully fit and back up and running. And I think you'd want to avoid those fixtures anyway. So I mean, I don't think I would bend over backwards to get him back in. Just because it's another, we said this, right? Didn't we say this at the time? Oh, if you take him out, you're probably going to want him back. And 2 transfers for a really stupidly cheap player. But I think unless you need him, maybe, or if you get an injury, I'd bring him back in. But at the moment, there's no single captaincy days. Still haven't got December fixtures yet, which we're hoping for. But if there's a couple of individual games that Brighton have that you don't have cover for, that's maybe when I'd look to bring him in. Alternatively, as I said, if let's say Alonso's, you've got him and it looks like the ship's sailed on him, you could easily just downgrade him to Webster. And then again, that would probably coincide with Webster's fixtures getting better because Chelsea's, as I said, you want to hold Alonso for at least the next three or four games, and then you could take him out and bring in Webster. So I think patience on Webster. There's no need to rush to bring him in yet.
I agree, and the other factor there is Webster's passing and tackling bonus wasn't always as great as it was in the first few weeks, and obviously the underlying tone as to why that was to do with Dunk and Duffy's positioning. Obviously Duffy going into the middle, Dunk was on the left-hand side. Webster then was taking the brunt of the passing on that side, because I don't think Dunk's comfortable on the left particularly. Duffy, although he's played well and got the odd passing bonus, he's not the main sort of playmaker from the back. That's Webster's kind of job in that role. But then what I'm getting at is once they've got, I mean, Lamptey's back in fitness, they've got Dan Burn back. They've got a lot of other options there. So if Brighton decide to go back to Dunk in the middle, which I think is probably his best position, and he is, their best defender, so he really should probably play there eventually, and Webster's on the right-hand side. In the past, Dunk would outscore Webster quite often for passing bonus and stuff in that position, and maybe then Dunk gets more involved in the play, and then maybe Webster doesn't get as much passing bonus is the offshot of that. So by waiting, you also get that little bit of information to see just how good of an asset. Now, I don't doubt he will still be a good option at that price, but I mean, I just said it there. If Dunk still stays in the team, then there's no real reason particularly to go for Webster over Dunk, I think, because I think Dunk's goal threat is so significant that over the course of the season, he would probably end up getting fairly close to Webster just on the basis that he will get the odd goal, and even playing in the centre may get the odd passing bonus as well, or whatnot. We'll get more information essentially. There's no reason to jump in on these players straight away when they've got a pretty low ceiling overall. I think that's all the questions, mate. So, if you want, we'll look at the preview, shall we, and just sort of look at our teams and what we're thinking for each game week and the matches. So let me try and get that up on the screen here. SkySight's being temperamental. Who'd have thought? There we go. Okay, so Saturday, 16th of October. Loads of games on Saturday. Absolutely loads of them. Looks like a really great day. I'm hoping I might actually get some points for once.
Ready.
Who'd have thought? That'd be a fine thing. I don't have Salah, so I'm going to be absolutely terrified from 12:30, as you can imagine. He's probably going to be my captain in FPL, but still, I won't want him to score in that game, which is going to be painful. And Man City home to Burnley, 3 o'clock. If you could tell me the lineup right now, I'd maybe consider just captaining Diaz because he's in my team, and I know Diaz is fairly safe in terms of playing. He usually plays most games. I think that's probably a 20-pointer right there as captain, which, although I've got Lukaku and I think he'll be quite heavily captained for the Brentford game, I probably prefer Diaz over Lukaku for this game now, just for the way, how do you feel about that? Because that's my main dilemma, basically. Do I captain Diaz or Lukaku?
That is a really good question. Think I'd probably still go for Lukaku just because the upside is still higher, I think. He's not really set the world alight yet, but I am always tempted in these circumstances to go for the big hitting striker, but at the same time, I really can't see Burnley scoring. So
No. I mean, they win
I think
5-0 every
that's a
time.
flip of the coin job, honestly. I couldn't decide between the two.
See, I think Diaz, I mean, often in these 5-0 trouncings, a lot of the Man City defenders end up chipping in with some points. So I don't think it's out of the question that Diaz could pick something up if he plays. My main concern would be whether Diaz plays. Now, people might think that's crazy, but I think when they've had an international break, they've had so many of their players away. All of them have pretty much played across the board, like two games pretty much. And then they've got Champions League 3 days later. Now, I know it's against Club Bruges, I think, but they lost against PSG. And Man City, everyone knows they want the Champions League. I don't think Pep's going to take any liberties in that game. I think he's going to play, whatever actually is his strongest 11. But I think he's going to be as close to whatever that is. And therefore, considering their record against Burnley and the fact that they should win it with their second string comfortably, I think there's a good chance that some players will, it will be a bit of a random lineup. Now, I could be totally wrong. Pep could just play his full team. But It's that whole thing of not seeing the lineup, right? I could captain Diaz, and there's a small chance he might not play, and then I'll really kick myself. So that might edge me towards Lukaku, but I think in a straight fight between them, I'll go Diaz. Anyway, it's probably only me who has this conundrum because most people will probably just be on Salah, right? And that's what you'll be on and sitting
Oh, yeah,
pretty. I mean, there's Ronaldo as well, right? I don't even have him. I think Leicester's defence been so shocking of late that I wouldn't be surprised if. I know Man United haven't looked great, but they've got this tendency to suddenly score 4 or 5 goals in a game, right? I think that could be one that they could do that.
agreed. Yeah, Ronaldo. I think if I didn't have Salah, I think if I was in the same situation as you are, let's say that you had Ronaldo instead of Lukaku, and maybe go for Ronaldo before Diaz.
Hang on a second, my daughter's coming. Sorry, sweetheart, can you go see mom? Oh, go tell mummy quickly because I'm in the middle of a live video. Sorry. Sorry, guys. What did you say, mate? Sorry, I wasn't listening to that last bit.
As well, you were getting heckled. I was saying that it's a disgrace that you've not got Sal on your team this week. You should have planned things better.
Oh, okay. That's perfect. She came in and I can just ignore that and brush
No.
off.
Yeah, no, I was actually just saying that I actually think if I had Ronaldo or Diaz, if that was my choice this weekend, I think I'd probably go for Ronaldo just over Diaz.
Yeah,
But
probably so.
Lukaku versus Diaz, I think, is really, really tight. I did say I think I'd probably just sway to Lukaku, but I think Diaz is such a he's got to be a nailed on 10 points, right?
Yeah, I just part of me thinks that maybe just play Stones and he plays Stones and Laporte or even Stones and Ake and just saves Laporte and Diaz for the Champions. I think that's probably crazy. It's probably me just worrying. Yeah,
No, I
we'll
would say Bruges are decent. Bruges got a point against PSG as well. They're not bad. They're a good
they
side.
need to get
So
3 points, right? And
yeah.
obviously they're at the moment Laporte and Diaz are their first two defenders. So Laporte and Diaz are going to play that game. So that's why I think, well, after all those internationals, it's just how much does he think he needs to play them versus Burnley? Maybe he does play Diaz and Stones. Maybe he gives Laporte the rest. I don't know because Diaz generally plays most of the games, doesn't he? It's probably me just overthinking it. Yeah, I don't think there's any other differentials I particularly like. Obviously, you've got Rafinha versus Southampton if he was to play, but I think all the noise is that he's going to come back too late to even feature in that game. I certainly wouldn't be taking him out. I mean, he's in my team. I'm just going to take the. I mean, I'm used to. If I get 10 men this week, that's a bonus. Usually, I'm ending up about 7 or 8. So 10 men's not a concern for me. And yeah, for me, not having Salah and Ronaldo, it could be quite painful, but I've been here before. Let's hope that it's not. Let's move on. So you'll be on Salah, obviously, won't you? Actually, there's no point to cover that. You'll just be on Salah, I assume, and cheering
Oh
on
yeah,
that.
I'm going to go out on a limb though. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Chelsea, the whole back line gets passing bonus this week. I don't know if they get a clean sheet. Brentford are good, but I think if Jorginho is back into the centre midfield role, which I suspect he will be, and if Azpilicueta might be back at right centre back because I think Reece James is back, then I think if that combination tends to result in stat padding. So if that's the lineup, right? Those two play in those two positions, they'll 100% get past in the whole defense.
Nice.
You can hold me to that.
Well, actually, on that note, then let's say that if Thiago Silva's confirmed to be out, then we're pretty. That's almost nails Christensen is in the centre of the back three, and then he usually gets passing bonus in that role. So there's an argument to captain him if you think that, he can at least fall back on it. But I suppose it's the Brentford goal, right? I just think the way Brentford are playing at the moment. I could. It's probably like a 1-1 for me that game, which is crazy because a few weeks ago, I mean, I had Lukaku earmarked to come in, probably be captain on that day and everything. But Brentford, I thought it was just a flash in the pan, and maybe it is. But at the moment, they just seem to turn up week on week and perform really, really well. So it just suddenly doesn't look like an easy fixture at all. Sunday 17th. Let's move on. So Everton at home to West Ham, Newcastle at home to Spurs. I think. Everyone is pretty much going to be on either Antonio or Kane, with a majority on Antonio, just because not many people actually ended up doing the Kane move. So it's a teaser for someone like me who's got both, which I think that's my day to make up points, really. I'm expecting to lose out points on the Saturday, but having both Antonio and Kane, if I can get a captain on Kane and he really delivers in that week, in that match, sorry, then that's where I'm hoping to make my points up.
So you're captain and Kane on Sunday.
I think so. I mean, the team that I'm showing here, which is, as you can see, the rank there, 6,000. I mean, it was in the top 100 after 3 weeks, and now it's dropped down that badly that it's like I've almost thrown the towel in already on this one. I'm just like, well, I was just Hail Mary it. I don't think Kane will be that heavily captained across. I know his ownership is still fairly high, but I think just his performance, his England casuals probably won't look there, might not have him. And then engaged players, a lot of them won't have made that move. And even if they have, they probably have Antonio and probably look there at the moment. So I think there's a huge upside there because he's obviously a player who can hit hat-tricks, right? So I just have to hope it's one of those days for him, and I'm going to go for him.
Yeah, I agree. If I had both, I'd be going for Kane. Regardless of my rank, I'd be going for Kane. I think Kane's a better option than Antonio on Sunday. I'm actually a little bit worried that because Newcastle, they'll probably be buzzing, but I think the whole Steve Bruce situation has been dragging on. It doesn't seem like they've dealt with that very well. So maybe he's going to get this last game. And I can see Spurs opening them up on the counter-attack. So... see how it goes, but if I had Kane, I think he starts on four as well because it's unlikely he gets through this game against Newcastle and doesn't get shot bonus. So I think for those who've brought him in, I think this is the game that everyone looked at and thought he needs to haul here, otherwise he's not done his job. And so far he's not done his job with the last two games that people have captained him, but this has got to be the one, I think, and I'm going to be, as you're going to be worried on Saturday not having Salah, I think I'm going to be a little bit concerned on Sunday not having Kane.
Good. Right, Monday the 18th of October, Arsenal versus Palace. This is the one where I may end up avoiding altogether. Just checking. No, I haven't got Aubameyang in that team. So you can see my front line there of Kane, Lukaku, Antonio. No Arsenal in my team. Used 7 transfers, way more than I wanted to use. So do I want to use one when I've already got Gallagher? Probably not. So probably no one for me on that week, on that day. Well, sorry, yeah, Gallagher.
Gallagher. And we talked before about the, if I was in your position, would have used a bit more transfers than I'd like to. I think I'd wait and see how the Villa against Wolves game goes, and then make a judgment on Friday night if you want to bring in a Villa player, because you're going to get 2 captaincies out of them. And you'll cover the Arsenal game, and you'll have Gallagher to cover the first match. So that may be the differential choice. You're only going to use one transfer then, versus I'm sure if you brought in Aubameyang, you'd be using at least 2. So that may be the way to go for those who are in a similar situation to you. But I think personally, I'm going to go for Aubameyang.
Okay, nice. Well, he's in my team that's doing better, Aubameyang. He's already pre there. I went there before last week, I think it was, against Spurs or whatever. So he's already sat there and it's doing well. So yeah, I'll still be cheering him on, I think, just for that reason. What do you think on that game, though? Do you think I'm right in thinking that's a tight game? Palace, I mean, they have looked really pretty decent, haven't they? And I think they're kind of similar to Arsenal in a way, I think, in terms of they tried to keep the ball a lot, look reasonably solid defensively, but maybe the goals aren't easily come by either side. I mean, Palace have scored a few more recently, and Arsenal, I suppose, as well, just because of the fixtures, but for me, they're kind of similar, and I think it might be like a 1-1 sort of game, but I don't know, what do you think?
Yeah, they're a competitive team, aren't they? They look like they're going to give teams a game, which I don't think they did in recent years. You know, they picked up wins. I don't know how they stayed up for the last few years, but they did. Fair play to Hodgson on that.
Last season, this is a lay-down game, and Arsenal are usually good at these, right? So they would have just been a standard 2-0 or something, or that's.
But I think I could see Palace, you know, maybe not finishing in the top half, but kind of around that 10th to 14th spot. So they're probably better than they were. And the crucial thing is versus last season, they're just not going to give up the ball as easily. So passing bonus doesn't really look like it's going to be a thing for any of the Arsenal players, which does make a difference in your choice. I mean, to be honest, as you say, Palace and Villa, you could see them being really similar games. I'd be quite surprised if Arsenal went out and blew them both away.
Yeah.
I don't think Arsenal win both games. I don't think they win both games.
Okay. And that's why I'm willing to take the chance. But I guess we'll see. And we'll see whether I'm happy or not on next week's video. I think that's it now. I don't think there's anything else you want to cover at all. I think we've gone through most of it.
That's a lot. Good luck, everyone.
Yeah, indeed. Good luck. It's good to have football back. Hopefully I'll be happy come the end of the game week for once. That would be a rare treat. A quick nod to the members area before we leave you. get yourself on site, guys. Sign up. It's useful for the ticker, as I've showed you here, for the upcoming fixture runs, obviously, which teams have got the better upcoming games, etc., which help for pre-planning in the Sky game. And obviously gives you all those passing and tackle stats, which are really useful to pick those extra captains, like, you know, not Ben White in this case, who seems to not be picking the passing bonus up as we expected. But yeah, get yourselves involved if you can. And I shall see you on the next one.